Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliette. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have a very special guest. We've got Jimmy O. He is one of the lucky ones from Love After Divorce, Season 4, to have matched with someone on the show, the beautiful, glorious Heejin. We're very lucky to have witnessed their journey together on the show, falling in love. He was always laser focused on her and her alone. He impressed her with his yoga skills, his cooking skills, and his yutnori skills.
And this is exciting because Jimmy actually listened to our podcast. So despite all the crazy stuff that we've said about him, he still came on. Forgive us, Jimmy. It was all for entertainment.
Hi, everyone. I'm really excited to be here with Leanne and Juliette. I figured this would be a good opportunity to say hello, get to know you guys a little bit better, and get to show you guys a little bit more about myself and meet some K-Watchers. And as all that you guys said about me and my friends, I definitely understand that, this pod needs to entertain some people. So any of your spicy hot takes, we definitely understand that it was for entertainment. So it's all good.
We appreciate the forgiveness. You, for us, were the most mysterious cast member. And so we're excited to get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah, so let's start from the very beginning. Why did you decide to go on the show? And I'm curious what you think the producers liked about you.
Personally, I enjoy watching dating shows. Love After Divorce, I watched Season 2 and Season 3 thoroughly. I watched Trends of Love a little bit. I watched Nine Solo quite a bit. So I always wondered what it would be like to be on one of these shows. But, I'll kind of stop there, to be honest. Like, I never really thought that I would actually go on one of these shows. But then close friends of mine, married couple that I'm pretty good friends with back in New York, they called me, while they're watching Season 3 of Love After Divorce. And they said, hey, actually, there's a casting call or people, suggesting people to apply. Since Season 4 is going to be centered around Korean Americans, and this married couple thought it was a great opportunity for me to sort of, apply and see what happens. After watching Season 3 again, I kind of got confirmation again that this show is not some type of show that's trying to make picture people in a bad light. So, I thought this would be a good opportunity for me to, sort of give it a go and see what happens.
Why do you think the producers were drawn to you? Because we said this about you in the beginning, like you were very confident, and we say a little bit more crassly, but we said you came in a little bit more, very confident, and like you knew what you were doing, and you were the one who had dated the most. What do you think the producers saw in you?
I mean, so speaking to the producers, the sense I got was that they were really looking for people that were genuine, genuinely interested in using this opportunity to find somebody that they can, fall in love with, rather than, trying to build their personal brand or anything like that. So throughout the interview process, I really showed that I was really in it to sort of find love.
You had married a Caucasian woman. Have you dated women of all, or were you looking for your next big partner would be a Korean woman?
I mean, just thinking about me personally, it probably doesn't matter as much whether, my partner is Caucasian or Asian or even other race. But, since my family is in Korea and they don't speak English that well, and it's not a must, but it's a plus if my partner can communicate with my parents fairly well.
And I think that cultural... The nuances show up a lot, even when Jisoo is expressing her interest in you, and she talks about that later. And so for us, as we were watching it, really, at least maybe the editors made it seem like you were into Jisoo at first, and then there was a little bit of a change of heart. So we want to talk about your relationship with Heejin later, but curious initially what attracted you to Heejin.
I was surprised actually at how little involvement the producers had while we're interacting in Cancun. But then I was also surprised while watching the show, because they also painted the stories that they wanted by, editing a certain way. So I think a little clip of me saying this was aired, which is I was happy to be going to the Mart with Jisoo and Heejin, because those two were the people that I was interested in, and there was on day one. We were asked on day one at night, hey, who's your number one choice at this moment? And I said, right now, it's hard to differentiate between these people because I just met them like 5 hours ago. But as of now, I think I'm drawn to these two ladies. But they were like, you got to give me one person. You got to give us one person. And so off day one, I had way more interaction and conversations with Jisoo. And also at the mart, Heejin was with Jerome and I was with just Jisoo when we were shopping for groceries. So she's a great person. You know, she's a good person. And so on day one, my pick was Jisoo, but they were about the same. I was interested in both of them on day one. But I think the show overplayed my interest in Jisoo and then downplayed my interest in Heejin for at least for the day one. So
it's actually interesting because that shopping trip, Heejin seemed a little bit more interested in Jerome, but he forgot her name at dinner. So like in an alternate universe, if Jerome remembered Heejin's name, and they could have, you know, like it's so interesting to see like the sliding doors of what could have happened, you know.
Yeah, well, thing is though, Jerome and I, obviously sorry, my dog's like growling. We got along great as roommates, but also one of the factors, I mean, not only our personalities match really well, but also our sort of, it's weird to call it choices, but like our preferences or who we were drawn to out of the cast members, we were exactly the opposite. Like my one and two, like the two people that I was interested in were the people that Jerome was the least interested in. So we kind of like were a perfect match as roommates. So, I mean, I think even in the alternate universe, Heejin and Jerome probably didn't, but but who knows? We'll never know. Yeah.
So did you talk a lot as men behind the scenes about who you liked, who's my preference? Were you ever like marking territory, like this woman, I want to have a chance with her, don't talk to her?
So Jerome and I talked a lot. Talked a lot about, well, you know, first days, we talked a lot about who we were interested in, how it's going. Obviously, like, I think the show showed a little bit of me talking to Jerome about my interest in Jisoo and Heejin, and how after one-on-one talks, I was leaning towards one person much more than the other. And then also on day three when I was shaving and I mean...
they made you look so bad in the editing. But did you feel like there was a miscommunication? The stamp incident where Jisoo came and asked you while you were shaving, hey, can we go on a one-on-one? And it kind of looked like you said yes. But then you were really like, Heejin, stamp it. That's how they portrayed it on the show.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I said yes, but I also knew, well, I can say I knew. I was 90% confident, or probably 95% confident, it was not going to be a one-on-one date on day three. But it still didn't feel good, like, saying yes, and then I was going to ask this other person. But yeah, it kind of all worked out at the end, I think, because we all went together. But, I mean, I wish I had just gone and asked Heejin instead of shaving.
Well, so then as you're watching, is there any part where you're like, well, that wasn't right? Or that like you feel you were portrayed unfairly?
I think it's less about being portrayed unfairly. It's more about leaving room for people to, you know, leaving it open for people to think however they want. Yeah. Like, for example, I think in the first episodes, they talked a lot about my 8 relationships.
Well, the MCs really thought you were a playboy. They couldn't believe. I felt like they were like
you're such a playboy.
So there was another thing, right? Like, so every time I was acting nice, I think they were crediting my past relationships. That's the reason why. And yeah, like, but well, the thing is, I was nice to all the guys too, which they showed little of. And I mean, I'm an only child, and so I think ever since I was little, like, I always wanted to be a good friend to my friends. I've always sort of been attentive, but it was funny how like all the panelists were like, "Oh, Jimmy, because he's had 8 relationships, I think that's why he's like, that's why he knows how to hold the hot stuff for this girl." And I'm like, "What?" That's another thing. I mean, I don't know how much yundori you guys played in, you know, in past, but so, you know how like some people like kind of roll yutes? like instead of some people actually throw. And actually, you know how like beer pong, you gotta have your elbow behind the table. I think Yunnori, like the general rule actually is you gotta throw the sticks at least over the elbow, instead of rolling. And a couple people were just like rolling the utes, and I was like, guys, you gotta throw it. So it wasn't like so again, I'm a competitive person, like so. I was slightly disappointed when we did TNG to split the teams, and Heejin and I were not on the same team. I was a little bit disappointed, but ever since then it was about the game. I'm trying to win the game. So when Tom's whispering in Heejin's ear, it was not about jealousy. It was more about what is he saying? Like I want to win. Like I'm not looking at them, just trying to understand what they're trying to do. But I kind of have an RBF, just like looking at them, trying to understand what they're saying. But with editing, like I look like I'm pissed or something. So yeah. So it was definitely more about my competitive nature rather than, I guess, being jealous. Also, actually thinking about it, remember the marriage compatibility test that we took? And I think a lot of people thought that I was angry or like upset.
I mean, you were drinking out of that water bottle like you wanted to crush it. So we weren't sure. You kind of did make it clear. So thirsty.
I was extremely jet-lagged.
Jet-lagged.
I told Heejin. So it's definitely captured on camera. They just decided to not to show. Like, I'm like, hey, I know you prepared this test and I'm trying to be a good sport and take this thing. But I'm like extremely tired, about to fall asleep. So. I mean, like, her answer surprised me a little bit, like, about the marriage stuff and all that stuff. So, but I was not upset. You know, I understand that it's been way, like, her divorce was way more recent than mine. And so I'm trying to be understanding. It was not me being upset. It was more, I was trying hard to stay awake. But when you take out that part when I say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm really, really tired. It just, looks a little bit different. So
the producers don't want that in there.
So we should talk about you and Heejin. Congratulations. That is obviously a very big sigh of relief to have had that. Actually, one thing I'm curious about is when you guys were on the gondola, was there any part of you that thought that she was not going to, that you guys were not going to leave together?
I can't quite explain why, but I think my brain was telling me that there was like 90% chance she was going to say yes. I think from day four, I was like 90% certain we're going to match. Mm-hmm. But it's weird because the last day, day seven, they sort of split us. Like they disallowed guys from interacting with the ladies all day long. The whole day leading up to that moment, for whatever reason, although my head was telling me that she was going to say yes, for whatever reason, I was getting nervous. And, I thought that there was a chance that she wasn't going to say yes, especially when we're going around the circle and she was making, making those comments about like, oh, it was a great time.
Right. She really was.
She was making you sweat in there.
Yeah, I hope you have a good life and, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what's going on here? But it worked out at the end, so.
So what's the plan? Are you guys talking about who's going to go where? Where do you think you guys are going to end up?
I mean, so if one of us had like a firm restriction on not being able to move, I think the other person would probably move for the other person. But at this moment, neither of us has that like strict restriction against, moving somewhere. So I think at this moment, we're still both open about, moving for each other. But what's more likely, to be honest, is because she has, her entire family in Vancouver. What's more likely is for me to move either to Vancouver or to West Coast of the U.S. because, even for a lot of remote jobs in the U.S., they still require you to sort of stay in the U.S. So, yeah, we're not rushing to make that decision, but at the same time, we want to make that decision within the, within the next 6-7 months. So by next summer, we kind of at least have a plan.
You could stay with Hadim and then just drive up to Vancouver. You could stay in our house.
You could help put our kids to sleep and then.
Well, I'm great with kids, but I don't know about, yeah, three is going to be quite a lot to handle at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the real reason we wanted you on this pod is because we must know, what is Heejin's skincare routine? Sora also talked about how Heejin basically is somebody who glows from within, and we need to know what that glass skin routine is.
Don't tell us she just washes her face and go to sleep. There's no way.
We're all giving up. No, yeah. Throwing away all our creams.
Well, I mean, like, so we stay on FaceTime quite a bit, you know, most nights. And I think most times she, at night, after she's done with work and everything, she has something on her face. I don't know what it is. But so.
Like a mask.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So she does put in some effort to take care of her skin. You know, she actually recently started a YouTube channel.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, so maybe she'll share her tips there. We'll see.
Yes,
we'll keep you guys posted.
Yes. She has to show us the whole routine. All right, so speed round.
Okay.
Let's do speed round. Okay, what city has the superior food? Vancouver or New York or Seoul?
Well, you know, I don't have much experience in Vancouver, so I'll have to say New York for the diversity, but Seoul for the quality-price ratio. For the same price, I think Seoul offers much better quality food. And the soju bottles are much cheaper, too. So.
Yeah, yeah. And even the food court food. The food court food is always like, this is better than anything I get in America ever.
It's not an RB sandwich. So you mentioned a few times on the show that you're a big sports fan. What's your favorite baseball team?
Tampa Bay Rays. So that's where I went to high school, the region. And I actually interned for Tampa Bay Rays when I was in college. Well, a long time ago now. But
what's your favorite restaurant in New York?
Ooh, I usually go. So I'm not picky at all, which is why it works well with Heejin too. Is I think neither of us is picky, but so I usually go wherever my friends want to go, but I think one restaurant that we go to most often is, again, I live in Northern Jersey, just across the tunnel from the city. But there's a Shabu Shabu restaurant in Jersey that my friends and I go to a lot. It's called Shabu Row. I mean, it's just a casual, your casual neighborhood Shabu spot. But I was shocked to hear that the restaurant made it to like top 50 restaurants in the U.S. on Yelp. And then in terms of like Korean restaurants that I really liked that I tried over the past year or two is called Mari, New York City. It's like a hand roll style sort of course hand roll style restaurant. That's pretty good.
Multi-course of hand rolls?
Yeah, multi-course hand rolls.
Korean-style hand rolls? Oh, nice. Cool.
Okay. We've been watching The Devil's Plan and recapping it. And so we talk a lot about like being stuck in prison. If you, other than Heejin, if you had to be stuck with one cast member from Love After Divorce to be stuck in prison with, who would it be?
I'll go with Jerome.
Oh, we should make him pick a woman.
I should pick a woman?
That's a good one.
Oh, man.
Jerome's too easy. We would want to stick with Jerome too.
Out of women.
We don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's not because I'm romantically interested in him. But if I were to pick one, maybe I'll go with Benita, you know? Mm-hmm. She and I were like really good friends, and I think she's got some tricks up her sleeves. So, like, I don't know, if you wanted to escape, I think she might be a good resource to escape together with her. Yeah.
And last one, if you could choose one last meal, what would it be?
Ooh. Yeah. Again, I'm not a picky foodie, but.
Well, Sora picked human meat, so from there, I don't know what else you could say.
Maybe I'll do samgyeopsal. Maybe I'll do pork belly.
Is Heejin a good cook?
Soul food. Yeah, she's a decent cook. In Cancun, I think Sora and Benita sort of took charge. So I think Harim took a lot of blame in the first episode, but I think that was sort of because Sora and Benita were like obviously very good. So I think we just kind of let them shine. But yeah.
Yeah. No, we say Hadim was just too busy trolling the kitchen for flirts. Sora make all the fish.
She wanted to. It was kind of obvious, like, even from. Well, it's also, you know how, I don't know, like, they sort of kicked us out from the kitchen because we had just gone to the mart. We'd help them a little bit. Well, I'd have helped Sora with all those salmon fillets, but we were kicked out of the kitchen. So
that was 10 too many for one person to be cooking. Yeah. Well, that was fun. Thank you. Thanks for your time, Jimmy. We'll definitely add your socials and Heejin's YouTube channel so you can shout that out in our show notes. But anything else you want to share before we close this out?
No, I mean, you know, it's just been a humbling and great experience for sure. Obviously, very, very grateful that I met Heejin. And, you know, also, I think Sora told you guys, I think that we didn't know we were going to be on Netflix when we were in Cancun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had no idea.
I didn't know that.
Actually, so we were told during the Cohab filming about the epic.
That you guys got bought by Netflix?
Yeah, or that our rights were going to be shared with Netflix. So in Cancun, we had no idea that we're going to be on Netflix. So it's very interesting. I'm thankful, but it's very interesting that, you know, I'm getting DMs from people from Brazil, you know, France, Japan.
From the K-Watch party.
K-Watch party around the globe. I mean, I think all 10 of us are really thankful for all the support. And, you know, some people are saying that our story is sort of, you know, giving them another hope because they are also fellow and they have the same experience of having gone through divorce. So if our stories for some, you know, somehow give anybody hope or, you know, desire to try again, I mean, that's great. So, you know, we wish everybody a lot of happiness and, you know, success. And my blood type is A, by the way. I think you guys, I think Julia's
blood type is A.
Julia, I think Julia said it, she guessed B, I think.
But that's, I thought, oh yeah, that's right. I thought you were a B.
Because that was after that, where you're drinking all the water and getting, you know, kind of testy.
Well, I'm a B, so you don't have to feel offended that I said
that. But what is an A again, Juliet?
A is the sensitive one. The one who's like, yeah.
I also,
right? Jimmy? Yeah. I mean, you tell me. What is an A?
I don't like the stereotype against type A, though, because it's like...
Right, type A.
They don't forgive. Right. They always remember the bad things you've not have said to them in the past, which is not true.
Well, I'm sorry, Jimmy. It wasn't.
No. I didn't take the offense by it.
But you know, in Korean culture, the men who are Bs have a really negative reputation.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, stereotypes are stereotypes, so it's all good. I also enjoy watching Devil's Plan, so I'll, you know, I'll continue to tune in.
Did you finish?
No, I'm in the earlier episodes, but the game that they played on day one, I think, you know, the super upgraded Mafia game. That seems really fun. It's just, I don't know if it's going to be easy to facilitate because somebody has to watch everybody's action at all times. So, but
it was so, it only gets better. And we're not, I mean, we just finished the last two. It is so good.
I'll have to go back to it.
Who's your prediction for the last final, for the finalists?
Ooh, again, I only watched the first couple, so it's hard. I have a feeling that he might not go far, but I like the actor guy. What's his name?
Ha Seok-jin.
Yeah, Ha Seok-jin. Yeah, I like him.
Awesome. Okay, thank you so much, Jimmy. Say hi to Heejin for us, and we will hopefully talk to you soon. But good luck to everything. Good luck on everything.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Bye. Thank you again so much to Jimmy. We loved talking to you and getting to know you. We are taking a break for Thanksgiving. Everyone have a great holiday. We will be back in December with Singles Inferno, and who knows what else. We could be coming back.
Actually, I do have one recommendation during the holidays if you guys need something to watch during Thanksgiving. I just watched a documentary called The Longest Third Date.
Okay. Is it Korean?
No, it's an American documentary. It's about a couple who ended up in Costa Rica during the pandemic.
That's right.
And they were on the third date. It was quite entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Asian girl and a white man, but
I had read their story, I think.
Oh, you did? Yeah, they talk about how the story went out into the news. And so it was fun if you're looking for something to watch. And if you have any recommendations for us, hit us up.
Yeah, we'll check it out. Okay, everyone have a great holiday. We'll talk to you later in December. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this podcast, or if you're one of the six friends we expect to have listened, please subscribe, rate, and review us.